welcome to the Philadelphia Channel, spotlighting the innovators making meaningful impact throughout the region across a wide range of collaborative and creative fields, including philanthropy, education, technology, family life, social entrepreneurship, advocacy of the arts, and more. Here's your host, Robert Rim.
Established in 1991 as an independent nonprofit corporation to support and enhance the cultural life and vitality of the city of Philadelphia and its residents, the Philadelphia Cultural Fund, through the combined efforts of the Philadelphia City Council and Mayor, promotes arts and culture as engines of social, educational, and economic development, with a special aim to provide general operating funds, the most difficult kind of philanthropic support to secure. It's managed by professional philanthropy staff, with governance provided by a board comprised of arts leaders, community members, and representatives named by the city. Grants are made from a Philadelphia budget allocation dedicated to creating and preserving the visual, literary, and performing arts, architecture, science, history, and the humanities. Barbara Silsley is a mission-driven leader in Philadelphia's arts and philanthropic communities and has served as executive director of the fund since 2015. Before her appointment, she led Dress for Success Philadelphia, where she was responsible for the region's strategic and operational direction of that international women's organization. She also held management positions at the University of the Arts, Philadelphia Drama Guild, Prince Music Theater, Freedom Theater, and the Leeway Foundation. She was further elected councilwoman of the borough of Lansdowne and became senior associate with a consulting firm specializing in providing organizational development and philanthropy services to nonprofits, primarily arts organizations, where she worked with boards and staff leaders to strategically plan for the futures. Barbara, welcome to the Philadelphia Channel.
Thank you.
At last year's City Hall ceremony, 325 of Philadelphia arts and culture organizations received $2.7 million in art and culture grants, and the funds distributed more than $45 million during the past 27 years. Give us an idea of the diversity of organizations and institutions that you directly support.
There is a wide range of organizations that the Cultural Fund supports with its grants. What's really, I think, the critical place of our role in the kind of infrastructure of support for arts organizations in Philadelphia is that the Cultural Fund provides these general operating grants to organizations of all size and scope. So organizations that have budgets of less than $50,000, even as small as $10,000 can get a grant from the Cultural Fund. And of course, the very largest and most well-known arts organizations in Philadelphia are also supported by the Cultural Fund because the city believes that arts in all of its variety are worthy of support from the city because the arts are engaging with the residents of Philadelphia throughout the city. So a large proportion, a large number of our grantees, about 45% of our grantees, have budgets of under $150,000. So those are organizations that might have a paid staff person, but might not. It might be passion driven by a board of directors, you know, volunteers who are making the work happening, delivering services and programming in practically every corner of the city. There's such a wide variety of organizations all throughout the city of Philadelphia. And often people think of arts and culture, they're thinking of downtown, center city, tourism, some of our fantastic organizations that are here, and they are here, and it's a good thing that they are. But like you mentioned, we had 325 grantees last year. We're on target to give grants to 339 organizations in Philadelphia later this month, at the end of the month. And those organizations are all over the city. Most of them are not in Center City or serving Center City. So it's interesting to know, and I really want to encourage everyone that's listening to engage in their local arts organizations, as well as how you might travel into Center City or partake in Center City. There are so many organizations that are providing fantastic services and really important social services as well to folks throughout the city of Philadelphia. They could be right down the street from you. They don't look big. They don't have neon, but they're doing amazing work. And I would say over half of our grantees are working with Philadelphia school kids, either in school or out of school. So the variety, when you think of arts and culture in Philadelphia, it is such a variety of artistic disciplines. You know, it's visual arts, theater, music, museums, the written word, historic sites, dance, community art, arts education. It's just a wealth of arts organizations, folks that are doing this as nonprofits throughout the city.
And talking about every corner of the city, which is really great to hear, programming by grant recipients happens in over 3,000 locations throughout the city. That's a tremendous reach.
It is a tremendous reach. So while we had in 2018, as you mentioned, 325 grantees, they were doing work and actually connecting with folks in just about 1,500 unique locations throughout the city. So that could be maybe a theater, but it could also be a park. It could be a library. It could be a rec center. It could be a school. And there were about 1,500 unique locations, but those 325 organizations were doing programming in over 3,300 spaces. So some of them could have been in the same space at different times, but so there were about 1,500 unique locations throughout the city. So many of our groups are in more than one place and doing their programming and connecting with the folks of Philadelphia in more than one location.
Hmm. And in Mayor Jim Kenney's words, our city is all the more vibrant and attractive because we have such a dynamic, diverse cultural life, whether it's music or theater or fine arts. Our neighborhoods are brimming with the talent that is being recognized and rewarded for their dedication and contributions. Support of the arts is not an option. It's an essential part of what defines us as a first-class city with such a dynamic, diverse cultural life. What's it been like working with the mayor and city leaders?
Oh, they're so supportive. I couldn't be happier. I think everybody, when I say everybody, I mean the hundreds of organizations, because there are quite a few people in Philadelphia that are employed in the arts. And even these small organizations, if they aren't quote unquote paid working in the arts, they're dedicated to the arts. And everybody just feels the support of the city of Philadelphia, and that means the mayor, who has a long history of support for the Philadelphia Cultural Fund from when he was on city council, because it's the city council, the mayor and the city council, who determine the yearly allocation that comes to us. We are a nonprofit organization, and we get this contract from the city and have, since you mentioned, since 1991. And this administration is so supportive and has maintained our allocation at its level for the last 5 years, which we are grateful for. And all, when I say we, again, imagine hundreds and hundreds of people and organizations standing beside me when I might be speaking on behalf of. The truth is, it's an incredibly dynamic and committed group of organizations that are serving the city. And so I would say that the mayor, city council, and the managing director's office, and also the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy, led by Kelly Lee. We're lucky to have all of them in our corner and understanding the essential part that the arts are serving in the city. There are so many pressing needs, but I would say that the arts are often a mechanism to improving the quality of life. It's not, necessarily a fluffy world that we're involved in. It is delivering
it.
Services,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's bringing services, it's educating kids, it's connecting with seniors, it's bringing vitality and meaning and connection across so many different people. And in these times when we're often fraught and made to feel separate from each other, the arts are that unifying thing, or you can sit in maybe in a dark theater next to strangers and have an experience and see something and hear something that you've never heard or seen before and thought of the people and others, and stretches you and brings us closer. And God knows we need that right now.
Mm. And along those lines, Philadelphia City Council President Daryl Clark said, "At a time when so many communities feel underrepresented and under attack, support for the arts as a vehicle for empowerment and change is more important than ever. Do American cities in general recognize the full benefits of the arts?
I think generally, yes. They all have different ways of going about supporting the arts. But I do believe, and what I have heard from folks, is that Philadelphia really is a leader. And when I say, you know, really the fact that they've had this designated funding that comes through a nonprofit that is philanthropy-based, meaning that's what we do, is run this grant program with peer panelists. So it's the community that is participating in this process. It is removed from the politics completely by the city giving this contract to the cultural fund, and then we do this process that is very inclusive and very reflective of and based on the community's input. So that unique character is different in Philadelphia, and really is seen as a leader in equity of arts funding across the country.
And about being removed from politics, applications are evaluated by a peer review panel, which is a key aspect, isn't it?
It really is. And it is the backbone of the whole system. You know, sounds kind of corny, but it really is a process of the people, by the people, for the people. And it's part of what gives us credibility with the city, is that it is the people, the sector, the community, that is volunteering their time and putting a lot of time into volunteering to serve on these grant panels. This past cycle, we had, I believe, 116 volunteer peer panelists. And every organization that applied got a site visit. And all of these panelists, over the course of 4 weeks, met with me and Michelle Carica, who's our program manager. And we met individually in groups of about 10 panelists a day over those 4 weeks and evaluated all the applications that came in. And they are scored across a scoring rubric that is accessible to all of our applicants and is certainly given to our peer panelists. So the peer panelists are folks who work in arts and culture, who are artists, who could be working at our grantee organizations or applicant organizations, but we take great care to avoid all conflicts of interest. So there are going to be plenty of grant panels where there would not be a conflict of interest. Of course, we wouldn't have a panelist evaluating their own organization. So that is no question that we avoid all conflicts, and we successfully do, but that's what we need, are people who are of this community to assess these applications and score them across our 6-point rubric, and then it goes into a funding formula. So the peer panelists aren't voting yes or no or determining a grant amount. What they're doing is assessing the organization across these 6 areas, like program merit and strength and management and community impact, which has the most point value in our system, and governance, et cetera. So we are assessing the organization because they're getting general operating grants, which means that when the organization gets a grant, and the vast majority of our applicants do score high enough to get a grant, then what happens is they get into the funding formula and they get a piece of the pie. So depending on what the city gives us, and based on the budget sizes of the organizations and the score they receive from their peer panelists, they get a slice of the pie. And what I've been noticing in my 4 years here is that every year we have more and more applicants and more grantees and the same pie. So to some extent, the slices are getting smaller, but we're also doing everything we can to be serving the arts and culture community in its entirety, especially when you think of these smaller organizations that have little or no paid staff. We want to make sure that if they're doing this work, that they know about the cultural fund as a possible source of income for them for a grant. And we, Michelle and I, do a lot of work to get them ready to apply and make it as easy for them as possible to navigate our pretty rigorous system. And again, they all get a site visit by our volunteer peer panelists. The peer panelists put in a lot of work, probably about 40 hours, because they have to read about 10 to 15 applications, do at least one site visit, and then meet all day and as a group evaluate the applications and then individually score them. So it's quite a commitment, but that's what makes this such a great process, is I have a background in theater and I was a casting director years ago. So I think of it as casting those panels so that every organization that's coming up for review can be heard authentically by the peer panel. So we need a variety of artistic disciplines on each peer panel. We need a lot of different perspectives on organizational sizes so that if you're a tiny organization, you're being assessed by people that understand what it takes to effectively operate a small organization. And, you know, we want people that are artists, administrators, marketing people, development, educators, et cetera, so that each panel has this really rich variety of people and perspectives so that each organization can be paneled or scored with integrity.
Yeah, and given the range of activities, those perspectives are really crucial. Give us a few examples of the type of community arts making that the fund helps to sustain and grow.
Oh my, there are so many different types. There's a lot of different organizations that are culturally specific, perhaps in specific neighborhoods, working to make sure that that culture is maintained and continues to be vibrant and honored. You can think of organizations like Taller Puerto Riqueño, which is such an incredible leader in Philadelphia, and other organizations of such variety and scope and artistic disciplines. I would say there's just so many. I feel a little bit like, because we have 339 grantees, I'm loath to, I think of them all as being vitally important and incredibly important in Philadelphia. And so I hate if I mention one that I'm not mentioning the other 20 that are equally as wonderful. But you can think of organizations like Ilion Dance Theater or, you know, Philodanco, you know, come to mind immediately, Dance IQIL. I mean, now I'm just kind of focused on dance organizations, and there's three right there, but then there's a Dance for Naya, and on and on and on. And then that's just in the dance, kind of went through the dance lens. You could think of music, and there's a lot of jazz organizations and classical organizations and chamber music and of course, theater. And, you know, it's just such a great variety. Again, going back to dance, you could think of Kulu Mele African Dance and Drum Ensemble and Kunyang Lin Dancers, another great company, Kyodaiko Japanese Taiko Drummers. Then we just go on and on. Philadelphia is so lucky that we are such a gumbo city. You know, there's so many cultures here, and not surprisingly, fantastically, so many are represented through the arts. And so it allows us all to honor those cultures and keep them alive and share each other to be able to connect with and experience each other. So whether they're small organizations or large organizations, you know, there's so many organizations doing such a variety of access to various cultural work in so many different ways, whether they're historic sites or music, dance, theater, etc.
And the fund has an outstanding commitment to social and economic justice. Along these lines, tell us about the David Cohen Award and last year's recipient.
The David Cohen Award, it's given annually. It's a non-cash award. It started in 2006 to honor and perpetuate the extraordinary legacy of the late Councilman David Cohen. And he had been on the Cultural Fund board for a number of years and was a staunch advocate for this continued annual funding as a city council member for the allocation to the Philadelphia Cultural Fund. So he was a lifelong advocate and supporter of Philadelphia arts and culture organizations. When he passed away, our board of directors started this award, and it's given to highlight an organization that went before the panel that year. It recognizes an organization that demonstrates a commitment to social and economic justice. It's a non-cash award. They get a beautiful piece of art. And each panel gets to nominate one organization that they reviewed, and then it goes to our board of directors to select the recipient. And we will be announcing the 2019 awardee later this month, and it'll be on our website. But last year, as you mentioned, it was given to PhillyCAM. PhillyCam is Philadelphia's public access television station. And what's really interesting about this story is the Cultural Fund had no idea of this, that there was this connection between David Cohen and PhillyCam. But when I called the executive director of PhillyCam, Gretchen Clousing, and let her know that PhillyCam would be getting that award, she jumped up and down. She was so happy. She was so thrilled and said she was so excited that PhillyCam got this award, because it turned out that Councilman Cohen played an integral role in the launch of PhillyCam. And so I also had an opportunity to contact Councilman Cohen's children, and they were delighted because they had heard of PhillyCam and they knew of their dad's commitment to the vitality and the critical nature of what they could bring to Philadelphia. So it was just ironic that there was that personal connection to PhillyCam, but there were other organizations in the preceding years that also showed a unique commitment to social justice. Mm,
that's wonderful.
So we were excited by PhillyCam, yeah.
Yeah. And what are the eligibility requirements for grant recipients?
Well, there are quite a few. Foremost, they have to be nonprofit and they have to be based in Philadelphia. While they don't have to do all of their work in Philadelphia, the majority of what they do has to be in Philadelphia so that it is serving, their work is serving and accessible to Philadelphians. There are other criteria. You have to be a nonprofit organization, or an organization can be a group that's not a 501c3, but they work with a pre-approved fiscal sponsor, because our grants have to go to a 501c3. So that is actually pretty common in arts and culture. Quite a few organizations are not 501c3 corporations, but do contract out with a 501c3 so that they can gain support, financial support for their programming. I would say about 20% of our grantees are in that category, because we are there for if that is the way the work is happening. So I would say that if you're a 501c3 or nonprofit arts organization, so you have to fundamentally, primarily be dedicated to arts and culture. We do also have some program grants for organizations that aren't arts organizations, but they have an arts program and they are eligible for grants. So there are a few of those. What comes to mind, for instance, is PCCY has the Picasso Project, and that is a really well-known arts programming for kids in Philadelphia schools, doing great work in Philadelphia schools. And so, you know, that's an example of a program grant. So we're supporting that particular arts program. But I think that an organization has to have done its programming for at least a year in order to apply. They can't be a startup. They also have to participate in what's known as data arts. And it's an online portal where organizations put all their financial data, a lot of audience data, a lot of data goes in there. So they have to really do a lot of work to do an application for us. But we do what we call right-sized applications, so that the organizations with particularly large budgets, we can think of a lot of organizations in town that are big, established arts organizations with a lot of staff. So their grant application is going to be more intense, and we're going to ask for more things and more proof of the rigorousness with which they operate. Let's say, you know, planning and evaluation, we're going to ask a large organization to provide its strategic plan, assuming that they're going to have a strategic plan because they're so large, they have to steer themselves in that way. But for the smaller organizations, we're not seeing them as having a lot of staff infrastructure to do that, but we do want to see a sample of how they are planning for themselves. And so we ask for them to talk about how they do planning, but we don't have the same kind of rigorous expectations of how they go about it, depending on their budget size.
Hmm. And talk further about the budget size and how they actually form the size, and what's the general size that you come across?
45% of our grantees have budgets of under $150,000. Only 13% have budgets of over $1.5 million. So the majority of our grantees are, the vast majority of our grantees are not what you think of as the big arts organizations in Philadelphia. You know, what would that be? 77% are budgets of under $1.5 million. And that would be out of, let's say, 325 organizations. So the vast majority are mid-size to small-size. And I think that's the sweet spot. That's the critical nature of the cultural fund. I think that all the organizations, even the biggest, deserve support from the city of Philadelphia because they all are a value and add to the vibrancy of the city in so many ways. But let's face it, the great big organizations, a $10,000 grant from the cultural fund is not going to make or break them, but it is an important kind of seal of approval that the city, through the cultural fund, supports them in this way. But where the grant of, let's say, $5,000 or even $1,000, depending on the budget size, can make such a difference to those mid-size and small organizations. It really can be the difference of their operating budget for a year. They get a much bigger percentage of their operating budget, the smaller organizations, let's say $400,000 and less. They can get a much bigger percentage of their operating budget, which again is general operating. And that means they can keep the lights on, they can buy the copy paper, they can pay artists, they can pay staff, they can do with it what they see fit to do with it because our process has evaluated them and the integrity of their operations. But the critical nature of this funding for the mid-size and small organizations is evident, and it's often a kind of a gateway grant. If you can go through our process, have articulated compellingly the value of your organization and why it's important that it be supported, and you can get through and get a grant from us and have assessed your finances and, you know, have reported clearly on all these things, that is such a housekeeping seal of approval to other funders that it can often leverage other grants. And that's where, while we can't give every organization what it deserves, the fact that it is that kind of seal of approval and can leverage other money because our process has such integrity, that can make all the difference in the world for us, a medium and small-sized organization. That's impact. And that is the city making that impact. And it's a pretty wonderful thing.
And now, a word from Arch Street Press. Better to Speak of It, Fostering Relationships and Results Through Creativity, is a book of core management and personal values written in collaboration with Clive Gillinson, Executive and Artistic Director of Carnegie Hall, offering firsthand experiences from Gillinson and the leaders of key nonprofit, corporate, educational, and cultural institutions, including the New York City Department of Education, Museum of Modern Art, New York Public Library, and Juilliard, and major performing artists such as Joyce D. Donato, Anne Sophie Mutter, Jesse Norman, and Michael Tilson Thomas. The book appeals to readers, including nonprofit directors and managers, corporate executives and employees, arts administration staff and students, and the public interested in the health and well-being of the arts. Exploring the vital benefits of innovation and organizational management, serving others and effective partnerships, access and mentoring, budgeting and well-considered risk, media and effective communications, education, and lifelong learning. We now return to Barbara and Robert.
In Mayor Jim Kenney's words, our city is all the more vibrant and attractive because we have such a dynamic, diverse cultural life, whether it's music or theater or fine arts. Our neighborhoods are brimming with the talent that is being recognized and rewarded for their dedication and contributions. Support of the arts is not an option. It's an essential part of what defines us as a first-class city with such a dynamic, diverse cultural life. What's it been like working with the mayor and city leaders?
They have been very, very supportive. Jim Kenney is a wonderful advocate for the arts. He really, really gets it. He has been supportive of the Cultural Fund since the beginning of the Cultural Fund, and he was involved with City Council on City Council, and he genuinely has a commitment, which is wonderful. So we don't need to make that case about how the arts are so much more than just simply I don't know, it's not as simplistic that the arts play such a vital role in the lives of a city and the people who live here and work here and visit here. Also, City Council has been supportive. We have maintained our allocation, which is presented by the mayor in his budget, and the City Council has to approve it. So we are really fortunate that we have had been able to maintain the allocation from the city these last several years at the same level, although our grantee pool keeps increasing. The pie, as I call it, is staying the same. So that's a bit of a stretch, you know, and a stress, because the sector is vitally important to the quality of life here. Cutting up the pie into smaller pieces is somewhat difficult, but we all understand that the city has its own challenges and are rising to meet them for the quality of life here in Philadelphia. So there's absolutely the understanding with the mayor and the city council and the managing director's office and the Office of Arts and Culture. I think they all absolutely get the value of the arts. Convincing does not need to be had, and they are doing all they can to support it as rigorously as they can, knowing that there are other stresses on the city and other demands that must be met for the quality of life in Philadelphia. I'm still, however, hoping that the pie can get bigger, but we really do have friends in City Hall all across the administration, which is, we're lucky. Philadelphians are lucky in that way.
And along those lines, Philadelphia City Council President Darrell Clark said, "At a time when so many communities feel underrepresented and under attack, support for the arts as a vehicle for empowerment and change is more important than ever." Do American cities in general recognize the full benefits of the arts?
It would seem that they do. There seems to be different mechanisms that every city kind of undertakes to support the arts. Philadelphia is really seen as a leader. The way it supports organizations and its grants to organizations, it is outside of the structure of city government. We are not, the Cultural Fund is not a department of the city. We are an independent nonprofit organization that is given a contract every year by the city to do this. So it's outside of the pressure points of anything political. The integrity of our process is maintained year to year. It's operated by, as you mentioned in the beginning, a professional philanthropy staff. So this is genuinely serving the arts and culture community. I like to think of it as of the people, by the people, for the people. And the fact that the city has seen fit to invest in the arts through this mechanism, that it's not who you know and who you can pressure. It really, every organization goes through an evaluation. There's a lot of integrity with that. Every city does it somewhat differently, but I think Philadelphia is really fortunate to have the mechanism it does.
And grant recipients are featured on the fund's website, further supporting them.
Yes. Yes, we have them on the website, and we have links to their website. So if you were to go to our website, www.philaculturalfund.org, and go to the recipients page, you can search the grant year. You can click on any organization and be directed to their website and learn about the work that they're doing. So I think part of what we do want to do is have everyone know very transparently where these funds are going, what the organizations are doing, and there are over 300 of them all throughout the city of Philadelphia.
And the Youth Arts Enrichment Grants are great to see as well. Tell us about them and the guidelines you use.
Yes, well, the Youth Arts Enrichment Grants, we have been doing them for a number of years now. We determined whether we'll have them on a year-to-year basis. A very small proportion of our grants budget goes to the Youth Arts Enrichment Grants. And the folks that receive what we call the arts and culture grants as an established organization, as a general operating recipient, may be eligible. And they have to have a unique arts program for youth of Philadelphia. They're actually, our applications are open now. We'll be receiving, I think our deadline is in a couple weeks, which is pretty exciting. They are for organizations that are to provide high-quality arts instruction, training, and participatory experiences to young people, 5 to 18, who are most unlikely to access cultural enrichment through other avenues. So that includes programming in Philadelphia's most underserved and impoverished communities. So the grants can be up to $20,000, which is really significant. And it's for a specific youth arts program. The organizations will apply, and they know who they are that can apply, that fit into that eligibility that they have to have, will be receiving a 2019 Art and Culture grant. And we will give those out in, the end of May, I think. That's how that works.
This includes programming in Philadelphia's most underserved, impoverished communities, doesn't it?
Yes, that is part of the application. We ask the applicants to describe where they're doing the work. It could be in school, it could be out of school, but we want to hear about the youth that are participating. It's not about how many. What we're about is kind of the authenticity of what they're doing and how they're doing it and the responsibility with which they're doing it, you know, how they're spending their budget, et cetera. This program is also reviewed by a peer panel. And the staff, we pre-screen all the applications for eligibility, but then it goes for peer panel review. And we have a criteria rubric for that, and they are assessed. It is basically looking at that goal that you just mentioned, you know, that this is really about trying to provide arts programming to young people who might otherwise not have access. Those are the types of questions we're asking in the application, the description of the youth program. This is a really, unlike the arts and culture grants or general operating grants, this program is really competitive, meaning there are a lot of wonderfully great organizations doing great programs in this area, and we have a very limited amount of money for this. So it's really competitive. There'll be two rounds of peer panel review, and it's basically based on the scores of those panelists, and there's no subjectivity in terms of our board or staff. We don't make these decisions. So it's really, we let the peer panelists score, and then we review their scores and see where they go. There will be a lot of applicants, quite a few applicants, and very few getting this grant. It is, in that way, competitive because there's limited, very limited grant money in this grant program. If people were interested in learning about it, just to even understand who these organizations are that are doing this work and working with Philly's kids, they could go to our website and look at the recipients page and search under Youth Arts Enrichment Grants and just see, of course, right now, all we have is 2018 up there, I think, and also 17 and 16, but not 2019 yet because they haven't been awarded. But you could go to any of these organizations' websites and see what kind of programming they're doing for kids. They're really outstanding organizations, again, of all kinds of budget sizes, all kinds of operations, and all kinds of artistic disciplines that are working with Philadelphia's kids. Again, it could be in school, but it could also be out of school. Think of some of the organizations last year that received this grant, like Philadelphia Young Playwrights, Kulu Malay African Dance and Drum Ensemble, Fleischer Art Memorial. They're just outstanding organizations doing really vitally important work. So we're happy to be able to do this grant again for 2019.
And filling, as you said, such a crucial need, doesn't it?
Yes. This grant is supplemental to the general operating grant that these organizations will receive. So it's really targeted. And it's targeted, meaning just for organizations that have a specific youth arts program and can talk about it in a very succinct way, have a budget. We can see what they've done and understand who they're trying to serve. We're not trying to craft recipients that are... It's score-based. So we're not curating the winners here. You know, we're not saying, oh, well, now we need an organization in this neighborhood or that neighborhood. It's more just what organizations go through these rounds of scoring and score the highest. And that's who would get the grant. The organizations that received this grant over the last 2 years aren't eligible going forward. You know, they need to sit out and make room for all the other ones.
as it were. And you've participated in regional and national forums and conferences. What's your sense of the current state of affairs for arts and culture organizations, many of which are really at the grassroots level?
Well, I would say that arts organizations in general around the country are trying to make sure that they have the funds to do their programming. Arts and artists are always in today. You know, the arts reflect today, and organizations are constantly responding to their environments and the folks that are participating with them. They are in service to the people, you know, who are engaging with their art. So this is a really competitive time for nonprofits in general to be seeking financial support, certainly from foundations and other funders and corporations and individuals. It's a competitive market. It's competitive in that so many organizations are doing really vital, important work. Often the arts aren't seen as critically necessary as other nonprofit organizations' work. So the arts organizations have to constantly make their case for why they are worthy of donations, because there are so many different kinds of societal needs that are trying to be addressed through the limited avenues of support. So arts and culture organizations are getting wiser and wiser, and foundations in some way are responding to this in providing more support for organizations to do their own kind of evaluation and assessment so that they can make the case. What's really hard for organizations is when, let's say, private funders, foundations, maybe corporations that are looking for a return on their investment, ask them to jump through a lot of hoops and prove their worth. And these organizations might not have a lot of staff. They don't have offices full of people who are waiting to crunch numbers, right? They're doing the work. They're serving people. But more and more, they're being asked to be able to speak to their value in that way. And what I think is great is that there's starting to be a trend amongst foundations who are starting to fund that kind of support for organizations so that they can supplement their normal workforce and be able to assess their impact. You can imagine if you're a huge arts organization, maybe you have someone on your staff who does that kind of surveying and assessment and analysis. But if you're a small organization, you don't. If you're going to compete for these funds and the support, you're going to need to be able to make the case. Who are you serving? How, you know, tell us about those folks and the numbers and as much as you can. And that's hard to do. And I think arts organizations are really trying hard to do that so that they can compel and attract support, financial support, and show that you will get a return on your investment by investing in them. And so I think that's kind of a big trend going on. And I can't stress how important it is that funders, where they are able to, especially when they have discretionary funds, which is not our situation, but a private foundation who has assets sitting in the bank, they can devote some of their assets to providing extra money to these organizations so that they can do that kind of reporting back. And if you want those numbers, sometimes you have to enable the organizations to gather them and recognize that it takes human beings to do it, and that it can be a stress on the very organizations that are doing this vital work out in the community. So there's more consciousness being raised among funders to kind of have a holistic approach to supporting arts organizations and not just, you know, kind of the sexy project that, you know, makes them feel good. But if you're going to sustain an organization, if you're going to support an organization to do it in its, most impactfully, and that's general operating multi-year grants and with some funds allowed for assessment if you demand it.
That's great to hear. And they're generally really aware of these aspects, aren't they? The funders?
I would say, generally speaking, yes. I mean, we're lucky here in Philadelphia. There's a really great philanthropy network of funders who can learn from each other and learn trends and Best Practices. It's the philanthropy network of Greater Philadelphia. And they have many, many members, all kinds of different foundations and grant makers. And we are a member, even though we're not a foundation, but we are a grant maker. And we learn from one another. We learn where the needs are. We learn what the best practices are, what is extra stressful for organizations. I like to say, you know, first do no harm. So if you're going to be a funder, we're partners with these organizations. We are not better than, even though the money is with the funder, the work is with the organization. The community impact is with the organization. So if the foundations, the funders, want to have impact, they need to invest in a responsible way in the organizations. And by being involved in, let's say, the philanthropy network locally, or we're also involved with the grant makers in the arts, so I'm plugged into what's happening nationally with arts funders, and we're always all learning about the sectors that we're invested in and want to invest in and how to do that most effectively without being harmful along the way.
And which is certainly not to be taken for granted. And in looking ahead, Barbara, going forward, what's ahead for Philadelphia's cultural community and organizations? What would you and the fund like to see?
We are excited to see that more and more organizations that exist are actually applying to us for funding that does get their visibility out, and then they are part of a larger, rich community. And one of the great things, just to divert the attention for a moment, about serving on the peer panel is the peer panelists learn from each other. They're learning about all these different organizations. All of that adds to the vitality of arts and culture in Philadelphia. You know, that what we learn from each other gets plowed back into the to the field, which is wonderful. So it feels like there's a lot of cross-pollination, a lot of collaboration going on with arts organizations. There are a lot of organizations that aren't formulating themselves as corporations, but as groups through a fiscal sponsor. And more funders are recognizing that that is a legitimate way to do business. And I think the Cultural Fund is on has been doing that for a number of years now, and I think has helped make the case to other funders about why it is responsible to invest in non-501c3s, because that's often how arts and culture are happening. Not every group of artists that are doing really great work want to create the organization, the corporation that reports to the IRS, the board of directors, and all of that. So in some ways, there's a really nimble organizational construct to partner with a 501c3 as a fiscal sponsor so that those needs are met, those requirements are met, but you don't have to create that big machine, because some organizations, you know, it's a lot to run an organization. If you're running a corporation, you're running a business, and in all of its different ways, not just the programming, but running the business. So I think the arts community has really been encouraged by and is innovative in how they get the work done and how they construct themselves and where they are throughout the city. So when I think about Philadelphia's arts and culture scene, I am so grateful that these people, the artists and the other folks that are running these organizations throughout the city, are dedicating themselves to Philadelphia in this way and are serving the people, whether it's in their neighborhood or to the larger community, to Philadelphia and beyond. People are making such a contribution and dedicating themselves in such a profound way and adding to the texture of the city. And, you know, there are so many different artistic disciplines that each one, I think you could talk to an expert in that field, let's say dance, and you'd hear kind of how the dance field is doing. And if you talk to someone in theater, you'd hear more deeply how the theater field is doing, because each one has its kind of own ecosystem. But from my vantage point, I would just say that this is a vital, energetic sector that is very responsible about itself. Each organization, 99% of the organizations that apply to us get a grant because they're running themselves well. They're doing everything right, and they're delivering the programming that can make a difference. into the communities that they want to serve. So to me, that is an indicator of the health of the sector in Philadelphia. The fact that organizations, very few organizations, kind of age out and go away. And I think personally that's great, because then people can find the 1 or 10 or 20 organizations and connect with them that make their lives and their families richer for it.
Hmm. Running the business, innovation, peer panels, best practices, collaboration. It's a large and rich community indeed. Well, in these notes, listeners can find out more online at philaculturalfund.org or to call Barbara or Michelle at 267-419-7641. They'll be announcing the 339 nonprofit arts and culture organizations receiving a 2019 grant at ceremonies on March 26th and 27th at City Hall. Barbara, all the best to you and the Philadelphia Cultural Fund with your crucial work and impact.
Thank you so much.
Access, stream, and download the Philadelphia Channel biweekly, part of the International Innovate podcast series, on PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, iTunes, and online at innovatepodcast.org. On behalf of the Philadelphia Channel team and our collaborators, good to have you join us.